I'm losing jobs. I'm losing girlfriends. I'm turning 40. I'm a drunk idiot. My life was
no Pearl Jam
show to save my soul. I thought my whole world was ending, and it didn't have a thing to do with whether I caught the flu or not.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. It's March 16th. We are less than, what are we, close to 90 days now?
I think it's technically a little less. It's getting close.
It kind of depends on whether you're like Taco, you're a Tuesday guy or a Thursday guy. So with the exact numbers, I don't know. But we have a little bit of a different show. We don't have a special guest. We're going to go through some news and some items this week, including, and you can probably hear in my voice that I'm a little bit under the weather. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is it's the fifth anniversary of COVID and the world shutting down. And because, guys, we are so committed on this show to doing it, I have COVID.
Do you really?
I honest to God have COVID.
That is commitment. Do you really?
That's how committed we are.
I thought it was a lie. I thought it was a hoax. I didn't think you could actually get COVID.
I didn't tell you ahead of time because I wanted to kind of drop it and get your reaction. But yeah, this is the first time I've tested positive, and I've tested twice. Of course, my tests are 2 years old because I never got them, but I figure if it's positive twice, there's probably a good chance. So we're going to come back to that. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what that meant to us and the world and this festival in particular.
Yeah, I think it's important to, maybe not important, but I really enjoy the calendar, right? Like I like celebrating the calendar and anniversary dates and, 5 years, boom, gone. Yeah. And that was a wild time for everybody. We'll discuss it here shortly.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. Because to me, it's important because a festival like this survived it. That's one of the things I want to talk about. So
yeah,
we'll come back to that.
A lot of them didn't, too.
And I also want to mention our last episode with Tuba. Tim Smith, that was a great, I think I've listened four times, probably four and a half times. There's a lot of information to unpack that he shared with us. And I wanted to mention while I was thinking about it, he talked about all of the work that he's done with helping young people who maybe want to get into the industry. And, Russ, make sure I say it right. Lena. Yep. Longtime listener, Lena. Mm-hmm. As I said last week, that was an episode for her, because she's interested in getting into the business. But I also wanted to mention Daniel and Sharla down in Huntsville, the Real Rubus, and their Totem Foundation, which is similar but different. What Tuba is more interested in is people who want to get into the business. Totem is more interested in people who want to get into festivals and spreading what we consider the Bonnaroo spirit, the love, the vibe.
Yeah, experiencing it for the first time. And I mean, we talked about this last week that the value dollar wise is really good, but it's still expensive. Like the whole trip to Bonnaroo, outside of the ticket price, it's quite expensive, especially if you've never done it before.
Right.
And so especially young people, that could be, in the way of their barrier of entry, and Totem is helping facilitate people who might need that. And they also go both ways on that, right? Barry, help me out with this, and Taco too. They have the, not only is it, they have people who they're wanting to help as the mentors.
Yep. Right? Mentors and mentees.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Which I thought was a pretty unique way of doing it. It's not just, it's both ends. And so that's a very cool thing that I know that you have a little bit more involvement than me and Taco specifically.
I've been on the board since it started. And it's because we say this all the time, there are so many people around the country who have similar stories to ours, who just love this thing. And it's so funny. We talk about it year round to the point where, we laugh that our coworkers are like, man, will you shut the hell up. Yeah, I get it.
A little bit.
I get it. Stop talking about Bonnaroo. But this is a way to get involved. It's a year-round thing. It's a 401c3. They have a lot of people involved. 501. Excuse me. I said 401, didn't I? Five. It's a legitimate thing. Bonnaroo is involved. They provide some ticketing opportunities. People can get involved. You can be a mentor or a mentee. The idea is that you will take whatever the vibe and the love and the feeling back and maybe start your own. Not just come back to Manchester, but maybe start your own sort of event somewhere, wherever you are. So pretty cool. Wanted to mention Totem.
We'll link to the episode. We did a thing with Daniel and Charlotte talking about Totem. And yeah, there's three major pillars. There's the mentor program, there's the scholarship, and then there's this international exchange program that I think they're still a year or two off from.
That's right.
But that's the final goal, I guess, is they want to reach out and bring, you know, a musical group maybe from Africa or somewhere that maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to come to play Manchester, and they will actually want to get them on the lineup and get some exposure for them.
That's right. And I think that's important. I'm glad you brought that up. Again, this festival, if you guys, we're preaching to the converted here, but this festival means a whole lot more than just showing up for a week of music. It's become a year-round thing. It's become a career thing. When you listen to different podcasts like Real Roo Bus and the Rooham Guys and Bonadude, people have ownership of these festivals. It's pretty, not weird, it's just unusual to hear how much people talk about the ownership that they have. It's like it's for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, ownership. I remember, you know, this just popped into my head, but so long ago in the media industry, I got complimented for something I was doing. It's like, you're doing, you know, you took ownership of that. And that's when it really started to take off. And I was like, ownership, what the hell is that? What does that even mean? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that was many years ago. And I was like, oh, later on in my older midlife crisis life, owner. Yeah. Yeah. When you make it important to you as much as anything else, some people might find that silly, but we all get it. We all understand
it. That's silly. That's part of, you know, talking about the Squarch with Tuba last week. That's part of why there was such a backlash about it, because it's like everyone's like, you're great messing point. With my festival. Like, people think that, you know, are so in touch with stuff like the arts that it's like, yeah, you can't change any of this because this is what the festival is to me.
That's and speaking point. Of which, in another version of using the word ownership, they took complete ownership for kind of bungling that one. Right.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah,
then fixed it better than you could, than your wildest imagination could have ever imagined. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Too, even now, I mean, we still get comments on that episode about some, you know, opinions are varied because some people are still like, the Squarch did nothing wrong. They loved it. Other people are saying the Squarch was responsible for COVID. So
that's actually my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite one. There's a certain part of me. I mean, I'm not going to say I liked it better, but that old wood rickety arch that I had seen since I was 22 years old, mm-hmm, I still, if you said, hey, we're going to tear that down and put up what's there now, and that's just what we're going to do because we feel like it, like, no, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not. Yeah. That thing's been there forever. You're not taking it. You can make another one, or you can do something. That would be my first response. But based on all the facts that we've already knew and known, and then we got reiterated last week, it's like, of course, this was the best thing to do.
I mean, you made a similar point about the roads and the asphalt. Mm-hmm. You know, when they you said concrete, but when they asphalted the roads, we were like, wait a minute, that's different. But yeah, that's a lot better than a dusty, gravelly
road. I am so glad you just brought that up, because I don't even know if I wrote it down. Last night I was going through a lot of different things, and I found the picture, Barry, that I referenced. I didn't reference a picture, but reference when I saw during the COVID spring of 20, that production road. It's the first slab of concrete or asphalt in Senaru that was ever laid, and I'm guessing that was in the fall of 19, because mm-hmm. this was early spring 2020. So that's funny you mentioned that, because I was like, oh, there it is. There's the acid. And then we were like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know, right?
What an idiot.
Yeah. Stop changing things. That's like when I showed up, they moved Guest Media, us, from that field, which is now where basically the Infinity Stage is going to be. That's where we used to camp, if you guys remember. I think, Brian, you were probably in that bunch. Moved us into the woods. And I was so mad when I drove up. I'm like, you moved us. We're farther away. This is horrible. And then all of a sudden I pulled my truck in. I was like, oh, wait a minute. We have trees.
Yeah. Well, essentially what Barry just said is they moved us to 931, exactly. What y'all know is 931, and he didn't like it.
I didn't like it for about 5 minutes.
And then well, I'm Barry, like, you got your wish, because we got there
trees,
anymore.
But they did have those little spiky things that they'd cut that stuck between your toes. But anyway,
They did kick us out.
They did eventually figure out, because we bragged about it too much. But,
Also, you guys let the church boners down. You said we would ask Tuba about the music.
We did.
And the art.
But, we'll figure it out. And, you're 100%. Thank you for bringing that up. Thanks, those guys. That was a great episode. That was a lot of fun. We did promise we would ask Tuba about the music.
And we lied.
And we lied. Sorry. The Peter Pan reading. But I know we're going to have Brian Benson on pretty soon. We'll ask him. If not, Brad and Corey want to come back on
and
talk
about music.
Eventually. So we'll get it answered. And hopefully we'll get that thing turned off for you, because that sounds horrible. What else did we miss, Russ? See, this is what happens when you take a week off.
We get lost, man.
Somebody's got to lead.
Somebody's going to remind us of all the dumb bleep we do and don't do and forget about and all that. So.
Yeah,
no, it was a great episode. I enjoyed it. And one of the things we didn't, or y'all didn't talk about, was the new arch. Remember, this is a steel structure. This is not just a half-assed, another wooden thing. This is an actual engineered, it's got a certificate structure that is going to last for a long time and actually designed to withstand years and years and years. So
I have a picture of it I'll look for here that in the off season when it's deconstructed. The skeleton is still there, but it can withstand wind, it's not any kind of concern. So
remains, but yeah, and they just build onto it. They add the screens, they add the decorations, each year. And
a significant upgrade of monstrous proportions.
Huge upgrade. And I think another reason there was so much backlash against the Squarch, because also remember 2019 was the year of Exit 111.
That's right.
They actually did use kind of the Squarch as the, they put Exit 111 graphics on it, obviously. But I think that was part of what people's fear was, oh God, you're adding more events to this place. Bonnaroo is losing its identity. We're losing kind of the iconic parts of it. It's just going to be a generic spot. And of course, that turned out to not be the case, because Exit 111 didn't happen again. And
it really wasn't a very good festival. I had a great time. We
had a great time. Yeah.
Yeah, we went. It was cold.
It was cold, but it was fun. But I kind of happy that experiment was a one and done.
That also was that whole transition thing. C3 was taking mm-hmm. over. Live Nation was sort of buying it and taking over. So there was people like us were looking for issues. Maybe.
Yeah, like what are they doing? How are they screwing
this up? They're messing with my festival. They're going to screw this up. And Tuba said it the other day, and I thought it was really interesting. No one has ever done that. No one has ever transitioned a major event from ownership to ownership.
Not to that magnitude.
And I didn't think about it till you just said that, Russ, about that. It was all about that timing. So, yeah, so that's happening. And then we get pictures of the arch on fire. And we're like, they're killing us. They're ruining our festival.
That's funny.
It was like just a tornado of all these different things happening that just kind of made it seem like, okay, we're losing something here.
And then COVID hits, and then we really do think we're going to lose it. So, that's a 2.5-year stretch before, about a year and a half, before COVID even begins to even let us have an idea of what we think is going to happen next, which obviously none of us had any real clue what was going to happen next. Very odd time.
And, you know, Russ, you're probably, you're not as cynical as Brian and I. We're sort of, you know, three quarters empty types.
Every time.
You know, somebody's trying to screw me out of something. So we're looking for the negative. But I've gotten over that. I think these guys do a good job and they try their hardest. They don't always get it right, but they try and they care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's some talk that just came out this weekend on the Reddit about maybe Matrimony leaving Centaroo, if not all entirely. Does that break your heart?
No, it doesn't break my heart. I don't. It's just speculation at this point, but that's what this is medium's for, speculating. I don't know that it needs to take up the footprint it does in Centaroo. I don't know how much it's used. I've actually, one of the our guys, or my guys anyway, that was there last year and got married, I've been communicating with, and where the beaches were the guest officiator or whatever it's called, minister, or I don't know, ordained or whatever. And hopefully we can talk about that experience here soon. So I thought it was really, really neat, but there it feels like it's like a rebrand of sorts, like maybe someone said something about a love shack kind of thing, more of a party atmosphere rather than a, you may all be seated, you know, maybe, I don't know. And then the House of Yes, you know, released their, what I never really know what it means, right? The House of Yes looks like,
I don't know what this is.
It looks like a riot. It sounds like a party at every hour of the day. A little risque, right? Like a little. I don't want to say drag showish. I'm not sure if that's what they do, but it might be part of that.
I think it's got kind of a burlesque flavor to
burlesque.
It. Burlesque. Sure.
That's the best word right there. Burlesque. And so they've announced their. It's not really a schedule. It's just kind of a, I don't know, an itinerary of sorts. So people are pretty excited about that. And that's about as much as it gets with, you know, quote unquote Bonnaroo news for the week.
Yeah, you mentioned the House of Matrimony, and of course, you and I already got married there. So
yeah, we got married away, there.
You know, it's already served its purpose.
We annulled it later, but it was
But remember that started life as Snake and Jake's Barn, which is
that's
part
right.
Of the
that
New
is
Orleans
the
connection,
which is a huge space to dedicate to Matrimony.
Good. You know what?
A half a dozen. Or whatever they had weddings.
So. Agreed. Everybody, I mean, I didn't care, but most people did. The match or the Snake and Jake's going away. People still talk about that.
I'm
maybe just bring that back.
Please, that would be awesome. Especially now that I've done both. I've been to the one in Bonnaroo and the actual original Snake and Jake's in New Orleans. I think it's great. It was you know, and it's part of this transition that we've talked about, you know, AC and Superfly, you know, kind of had of its roots in the New Orleans culture.
They do.
And part of that is kind of lost now that they've kind of removed Snake and Jake's and, you know, Superfly's out of the picture.
That's a really good point. A lot of that has faded, like the Preservation Hall, the little mini venue there, and then the Preservation Hall band. That anybody who enjoys music at least has a small amount of appreciation for, but that kind of ran its course and that's kind of out. So I don't know.
The,
maybe
the
there's some license.
Line.
Yeah, maybe there's some license.
They did a parade. Yeah, I don't know why they decided to kind of remove some of that.
Well, I mean, you might have hit on it. I mean, Superfly was from New Orleans, and Bonnaroo, for people who don't know, is a Cajun word for, depending on who you're hearing from, is
good
a really
time.
Good time
yeah,
or
good time.
A good time on the street.
Best
or
in the streets.
Yeah. Best in the streets. Yeah, I mean, it's a Bonnaroo. So, you know, at some point it's going to distance itself from that. I mean, the C3 guys are from Austin. So, you know, and we have to keep reminding ourselves 50% or more of the people who come to this event are there for the first time, and they're getting younger and younger. So, you know, the things that we remember and hold on to, they have no idea about. And so, you know, at some point we start sounding like "you kids get off my lawn" type of thing. You know, it's not the same as it was type of thing. So who cares? In some ways.
It's not like the
Let me finish that though, Brian, because you made a great point, I thought, last week talking to Tuba. Even with like the asphalt and the changes and the port-a-johns, they've done a really, really good job of not losing the identity, I think. And that's important, right? I mean, they could corporatize this to death. And we
in some ways they have.
They have, compared to where we were. But, you know, like you said, I'm not going to complain about a flushable toilet.
No. No, and this kind of comes from also like the sports ethos of when stadiums started getting names and everything started getting a corporate sponsor, and then all the purists, me being one of them, would get angry about it. And then you stop and think, yeah, you want your team, you want your festival, you want the organization you support to have more cash flow and funding to be able to continue this thing you like, right?
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Well, then they got to raise money somehow.
Yeah.
And if there needs to be the True Music Lounge brought to you by Budweiser or whatever, then that's what you do. But they have, you know, the main stages are still the classic names. That will be a problem.
Yeah,
they change the what to the Verizon stage, we got to start having a long talk.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But also 20-year-old Brian and 39-year-old Barry will walk through the mud to go see a favorite band, but 60-year-old Barry, you know,
maybe not.
That flushable toilet's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
you know, so there's that. And I was glad you brought that up last week.
But you're right, though.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
You know, to finish that point, yes, the keeping their identity and recreating the identity and keeping and melding it has been done borderline perfectly. But anything that the New Orleans connection was to this festival was just because of Superfly.
The festival
was never designed around a New Orleans flair. Because that's where they were from. If they were from Portland, Oregon, it would be more things probably that they added that would be from the Pacific Northwest. So
it was just an homage, and it was pretty neat.
And if you're going to homage something, New Orleans is a good place to start.
It worked.
Absolutely.
It worked.
The only other piece of news, I guess you guys covered it last week, was the announcement that the Who stage is moving out to the campgrounds.
Yeah, your thoughts, Taco, because we spent a couple minutes on it.
You did. My first thought was, guess I'm not going to the Who stage. I mean, not to, you know, be mean about it, but, you know, it's a lot different when you're where we are. In Cineru, if you know, well, think about last year. Last minute, we dropped everything because we heard, wait, Monrovia from Chattanooga is playing the Who stage?
And now he's one of the biggest artists in the Southeast anyway, or at least trajectory-wise. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we canceled everything and went to go see him because it was right there in Cineru. If this was happening out in the campground, that's a different story. You know, it's kind of a long hike for us, at least, especially if we're going to try to cover some of this.
And well, let's forget how long the hike is. It just adds another layer to trying to get to something that we would have done if it was easier within the confines of Cineru. And I agree with you on that one completely.
But I think from the other perspective, if you are camping out in GA and you happen to be camping near this stage and you're not in Cineru, and you know, some band starts playing and you're like, what the hell is that? That sounds great. It's a lot easier to come in and see something you might not have otherwise seen just because of where you are. So, I get why they moved it, maybe. And
I still have this feeling that we're going to see more curated stuff out there. Not more events, but narrower, less events, but more fine-tuned. I think they put a lot of money and energy out there the last 3 or 4 years on purpose to animate those spaces and to make camping more fun and appealing to people.
You're right.
But I personally, and I don't have any proof on this, but that's a lot of energy spent from an organization's point of view.
Right. It is, but they do have proof because they have the data. They know at any given time, 20% of everyone
they love their data
is not in Centaru.
Correct.
I understand that they're thinking, okay, for these 20% that are sitting back at camp for whatever reason,
what can we give them that benefits both of us?
Let me go a different direction real quick. 20% or whatever the percent is that are at their camp might be there because they don't have any interest in being in Centaru. They don't have any interest in being next to the Who stage. They don't have, not everybody is in campgrounds dying of boredom, right? Some people are just in the campgrounds wanting to chill. So, I'm not trying to make a greater point there other than maybe the Who stage. I don't know where it works in my head. I can't think. Where does a Who stage go and it really, really works?
Yeah, well, I agree with you there. I have no clue.
I can't think. I can't think of where it would be. To me, it feels like it should be like the opening band, like right up in front, like by the wall that runs by the clock tower or the mirror ball tower, that entrance, and maybe like that's the Who stage. And so everybody who's on their way to Centaru is like, hey, look, there's a professional stage with real bands on it. That's like the only thing I can think of where it really makes sense. But hey, what the hell do I know? I'm not a festival planner.
Here's my free tip. And I offered this up to our friend Ken Weinstein several years ago because I happened to be out there when they opened the gates at noon at the Arch. I felt like they should have like a celebrity guest announcer. Like NASCAR does. Yeah. Counting down, their gates are open in 10
seconds.
Let's
get ready to.
Yeah. And I was like, he didn't know me as well as now, but he looked at me like, okay, sure. Who are you thinking? I'm like, Don Pardo. And he was like, oh, okay. Dave Grohl.
Thanks, Barry.
Dave Grohl on a Thursday at 11:55. Come on now. That'd be pretty cool.
That's actually not the craziest thing ever. Like,
I thought it'd be pretty cool.
No matter how crazy the idea is at Bonnaroo, it's usually, we've talked about it, it's usually kicked around at least a moment or two.
Yeah, some celebrity guest opening each day. Come on, I thought it'd be pretty cool. All right,
one last push on this contest. We're going to give these tickets away. And we just decided this, like, in the pre-show meeting, the extensive pre-show meeting we have every single week. April 1st, 2nd, whatever that first Wednesday is, that's the day we're going to announce our winner. I think we decided that real quickly. And what we would love to do here, I know we've been dragging this out, and, all we got to do is kill time in life. Last year, we had a lot of great feedback, and it helped me immensely. When people would get a hold of us, if you just want to type a note, that's fine. A voicemail, anything you got, any way you want to do it, of suggestions, and not like Olivia Rodriguez, or we got that. But suggestions for us to sample, because it is time to start making the playlist. Right. It's time to. I purposely put it off. I didn't want to do this for 6 months, but it's time, right? Like I got to start.
You're right.
I got to find Chapel Roan. This year, right? Where's Chapel? Is she on this? Is she on this thing?
Who are the Green Bananas? Who's the Green Banana this year?
As Tuba said, the Green Bananas. And two of them that I got from our listeners that were huge for me was, and I'm blanking on her freaking name, it was Chapel Roan and the other young lady who sang similar kind of sad girl stuff. Guys, help me out. Who was she? Renee Rapp. I had never heard of either of those. Who now Renee Rapp is she's fine. Chapel's queen. But without this show, I wouldn't have known about that until I got there. So if y'all want to give us some of that, we'd love it. We'll get your last few names in there. We'll pick a name out. We'll have a winner in the first week of April.
Isn't that weird that we haven't done it? I mean, all three of us have like purposely not taking the deep dive yet. And
I have a little. I've gone pretty hard into King Giz, just because it's such a huge.
Well, you need to.
Catalog.
It takes a long time.
Joey Valance, Dom Dalla. I have, a few, but not the deep dive. So.
I absolutely have not.
I've been doing King Giz just because I'm excited about these three sets. And then somebody, I can't remember who, keeps posting in our Discord all these fantastic looking King Giz records. They have these incredible vinyl with all this artwork, and they're, you know, colored vinyl and different designs and patterns. And, you know, I gotta own some of this.
Only there was a place I could go to get more information about Bonnaroo. Oh, that's right, our Discord. Maybe I'll show up one of these days. But that was a huge help for me last year. So we'll do that.
Yeah.
So help us out. Maybe you've. Go ahead, Russ.
Drop some artist suggestions to us. You can enter. We got several ways. The whatpodcast.com. Go there. Hey, click on win tickets. You'll figure it out. We have a voicemail line. We've got email. We've got a fax. You can fax us your suggestions. Or you could just record a video of yourself telling us, you know, send it to us. We'll play it. So,
yeah, awesome. By April, that's my date. April 1st, my month, favorite month of the year. I'm going to start making my playlist and cramming and getting ready. Because at that point,
do it for Brian Stone.
Do it for Brian.
And we'll pick winners. We'll pick winners, and that way you guys hopefully have enough time to make your plans. I would be interested in knowing.
Well, what are we giving away, Barry?
Pardon me?
What are we giving
away?
Oh,
that's right. We have three different things we're giving away. We have two tickets, GA tickets, and camping pass. Mm-hmm. We also have, the Bonnaroo yearbook from our friend of the show, Caleb. And we have an original print from I Am Bonnaroo, David Bruce, which is awesome. So we have three prizes that we're going to give away, which is amazing.
Yeah, and so even if you've already bought tickets, go ahead and enter anyways. You know, even if you're not interested in winning extra tickets, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, but you could win one of these other things too.
Yep.
Let us know not only maybe an act that you love that we need to check out, but maybe one that you've already taken a deep dive on that you didn't know about that we should check out as well. Are we ready to do bring everybody down?
Yeah, like
a little buzzkill.
We got to use the Wayne's World. The
yeah,
we're going back in time.
So 5 years ago, and as I said at the top of the show, because I am so committed to this show, I currently have COVID, according to the tests anyway. It sucks. I don't feel like I'm dying. I don't feel like I need to go to the hospital. So there is that. But 5 years ago, man, I can remember we kind of at work were getting these questions from HR. Can you work from home? Are you set up? Do you have computer hookup? Do you have internet? And we're like, what the, you know.
And this is with the Chattanooga
Times Free Press. And, being the cynic, as I mentioned, I'm thinking they're going to fire us all. They hate us all. The world's coming to an end, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, it's because they're thinking they're going to have to send everybody home. And sure enough, this week, right? I think we sent everybody home March 8th, but I want to say March 15th, right, was when basically everything else shut down.
It kind of depends on who you ask. This show is going to drop on the 19th. It's somewhere in that, 15 to 20, 15th to 20th. Some people took this more seriously than others. The battling culturally hadn't started yet. Yeah. Everybody was still equally confused, and so the vitriol hadn't started yet. Didn't take long, but it hadn't started at that point. So it depends on who you ask. But
the interesting thing to go ahead.
The major turning point for me that I remember was that they announced. Remember South by Southwest? They announced they were canceling it for that year, and this was before anything was considered, you know, shut down. And
they
did that very early, and it was like, whoa, wait a minute. If they're shutting down that event, what about this event or that event? That was kind of the first in a long line of dominoes of things kind of falling into place.
Huh.
I'm glad you
made us think like this is bigger than just.
I'm glad you said that, because I was getting ready to make the point that the part of the reason that we're talking about this, obviously we focus on music and festivals. But that was a huge part of the conversation, not just because this show, but that's what I did for the Chattanooga Times Free Press was cover music, and things like festivals were at the very top of the discussion, right? How can you bring 80,000 people together to an event?
With a large crowd,
Yeah, so, I mean, I focused for 2 years on restaurants and music. And I'm very proud of what we did on this show. We joked about it. We did a show for 2 years about events that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And good shows. I'm very proud of what we did.
I remember to just go back to like first hearing about it was in December of 2019. I work in the beer industry as my day job outside of the media work I've done over the years, and we distribute Corona, and so when Corona.
So it's your fault.
Yeah. So when the coronavirus is first anywhere on anybody's, you know, Google search, I was sitting at my desk and someone said someone was talking Corona. I don't know what work wise. And they're like, yeah, well, hope we don't get that coronavirus. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, because this beer sucks. I know. Coronavirus. That's hilarious. Like, no, man, look it up.
Wow.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
And then I looked at it. I'm like, okay, whatever. That was in December.
Yeah,
You're right.
I'm pretty sure, Russ, you, me, and Brad, our co-founder and former co-host, we all had it at the end of that December, February, right? Didn't we all three get sick? It's the worst sick I've ever been in my life.
I got sick, but mine was the flu.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I had because we didn't have tests at that time. But
there wasn't a COVID test at the time, but I tested positive for flu. Now, I don't know if a flu test would show positive if you had it. I don't know.
All I know is I put my head on a pillow one night and thought, I'm not waking up, and I'm okay with it because this sucks.
I blame Brad for giving it to me because, I mean, it was like we hung out, and then literally the next day I was stuck in bed.
But, well, I mean, no kidding. We had, so because of that, and I don't remember names, I know we had Allie and John on, who booking agents, they were on during that time period to talk about, you know, they were very kind to correct a lot of things that I had thought were true about how bands were booked. I think we talked about, Brian, you and I did on the phone the other day. I always assumed that Chattanooga being in the middle of Birmingham, Knoxville, Atlanta, Huntsville was prime because we were 90 miles away from everything. And they were like, no, 6 hours. We don't do 90 minutes. We do 6 hours. So, and they were talking about how bands are booked and their, you know, whether they're going to have product out, and they think so far out. So that was really telling. And then, and I don't remember his name, the attorney that we had on that introduced us to the term force majeure.
Jeff Becker.
Jeff Becker. That's right. That was a fascinating episode.
Yeah.
That was a term we never heard of, and it was all about, you know, who's on the hook if this happens.
If you remember, too, before all this happened, what was the major news about Bonnaroo that came out?
Before it happened.
Mm-hmm. It sold out.
Oh, right.
Sold out year.
Yeah, it sold out so early, too.
Right.
It sold out super early. And you remember we scrambled and we got Ken Weinstein on the phone to talk about the sellout. And we
got to
do an episode about that. Yeah.
So like that's right.
We threw together this kind of last minute episode that, oh my God, Bonnaroo sold out. This is amazing. Let's talk about it. So we went from that like super high of good news. And then next thing you know, it's canceled.
And he corrected me. It wasn't the quickest it had ever sold out. It was the earliest that it had ever sold out.
Which I still don't know what the difference is.
But. Well, they announced later in the year, I think. And I think the 1 year, it sold out in like 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks or something. But
the first couple sold out.
They always announce in January.
It was whatever the technicality was.
They also move numbers around to make their narrative work, so whatever, you know. But either way, but that's huge news. Forget everything. That's huge news. Right. I forgot all about that. We haven't even come – well, we came close to a sellout last year, but it hasn't really even approached that.
It hasn't happened since.
Yeah.
I like that. No, for sure.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I was – back then – 5 years ago, might as well have been 500 years ago. Like, I my life was so different then for so many ways that I won't bore anybody with. And it's difficult to talk about something that where you're trying, the message you're trying to give is, listen how awful this is, right? Like, it's difficult to tell somebody that when you know every single person you'll ever have that conversation with went through the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
So it's like, it's story topperville, right? Hold on, right. I got one better for you. And not that that's what I'm, or most people are trying to do, but it's a different dynamic that we're not used to. You can grab a few things, 9/11 and a handful of other things where everybody was experiencing the same thing. This was to me on a different level of just, of that. So it's difficult to talk about, but man, that year sucked. It was so awful. Every single thing about it. I turned 40, my Pearl Jam toured for the first time in years on a massive world tour, canceled the whole thing. I was so mad, so angry. I'm surprised I didn't get more radicalized overall.
Interesting.
I was so furious. I had a breakup that was going through that was horrible. Like, everything was bad. And I lost my last radio gig. Now I'm 5 years since having a job in like official traditional media, which I'm good with. I don't need it anymore. It's fine. But I'd never gone that long without working somewhere, even if it's just some little rinky dink nothing station. March 1st, 2020, whole line of cuts. They did exactly what you thought was going to happen, Barry. They did it to us. Yeah, I knew it was coming. I didn't care, but I mean, I did care, but I got over it pretty quick. So, I mean, I'm losing jobs. I'm losing girlfriends. I'm turning 40. I'm a drunk idiot. My life was
no Pearl Jam
show to save my soul.
Yeah,
I was a wreck. And so I wasn't really even around any of you guys. Brad had just moved to New Orleans. So he's one of my regular running drinking buddies, Brad Steiner from the show. He's gone. I thought my whole world was ending, and it didn't have a thing to do with whether I caught the flu or not.
Yeah.
Or COVID, right? Like, man, what a wild ass time that.
See, it was different. It was different for me. I hunkered down. I moved all my equipment. For some reason, I had been planning unintentionally. I didn't know that was coming, but I had been buying equipment and stuff like this so I could do podcasts or radio.
When your obsession started with gathering equipment.
Correct. It started before that. And then when that happened, I was like, this is the best thing because I could do Zoom meetings from home.
You mentioned Brad moving to New Orleans. He moved to New Orleans in February. It was like 2 weeks, and then the world shut down.
What SOB. If that doesn't happen, he's still unemployed.
Nobody falls up. Nobody falls up better than that guy.
Instead, he's the king of New York. Sorry, go ahead, Daniel. Right.
Well, but we were transitioning from doing the show in person to now we're trying to figure out how to do it remotely, not because of COVID, but because Brad moved away.
We didn't have his radio studio.
That's right. So, yeah.
For context, was the same station that I was working at the time.
Yep.
Brad's dismissal from that station had nothing to do with COVID. We won't go into any of that because it's not important. But it was just a very transitional time for really, I guess, look at your life. When is it not transitional?
Right? Yeah, for
like
sure.
When is it, I think if COVID happened a year ago, we could all probably be like, oh, that was, you know.
Well,
it gets relative at some point.
And that's for me, I was really proud of the work that the paper did because we I hate to use the word because that's what everybody did. We pivoted. It was like suddenly, you know, there were tons of stories. It was cherry picking, you know. And for me, it was calling the venues, calling restaurants. I can't tell you how many interviews I did with artists that were not touring, but would be like, how are you doing this? And they were, you know, doing things from their kitchen or their living room, or they were doing mini shows. So there was lots of things. I bet that worked out.
Yeah. I mean, they got nothing else to do. They're not going to say no to an interview request.
No. They were thrilled to have the attention. And,
talk to anyone. That's where Post Malone did his Nirvana set from, remember?
Yeah. The RSD release.
And so many of them, you know, and this is, we're like, this has given me a chance to reconnect with my family. I'm moving back home. I'm living with my parents, or I'm back home with my kids who I get to see year round. So there were some positives. Most people, there were some like you, Brian, that, you know, just didn't want to be stuck at home. But then there were some others who found out.
That's absolutely true.
There was a way to make a, you know, a positive out of it. So that's what I remember the most. And restaurants, you know, they figured out how to do takeout and even liquor stores, which I just thought was the weirdest. Suddenly you can have liquor delivered to your house.
That's okay.
Yeah. Or you could go to a bar and get a mixed drink and walk out the door with it. Mm-hmm. How awesome was that for me for 6 months?
That was always the weirdest thing was what did they call it? Critical? You know, who was vital? The workers that were vital.
Essential workers?
Essential
workers. That was the stupidest thing ever.
That was dumb because it was like, come on now.
Bartenders.
I'll tell you this, while we're on the subject of, you know, my day job is the beer industry, and it always has been and still is and hopefully always will be. And our sales exploded. There was no problem. There was no like, I wonder about our jobs. It was like, we don't have enough employees. We're selling. I mean, the volume was amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we got bonuses.
Well,
$6,000+ bonuses just because they were being friendly, like as a company, because they were making so much money. And it was, you know, the narrative would be you're putting your employees in danger. Agree or disagree, that's up to you. So it was for me in that moment, that was the only thing going for me. Well, it was like, well, at least I don't have to worry about losing a job that matters. I only lost a job that doesn't matter, talking into a radio station microphone that nobody listens to.
Right. So. And then just to, you know,
and now you're on a podcast that nobody listens to.
Now I got a podcast, nobody listens to.
But just to put a bow on it, and Tuba mentioned it, you know, 2021 comes around, they move everything to the fall, and we get weather and all kinds of uncertainty. And then 2022, 23, everybody, all the musicians that have been sitting at home saving up, whatever you want to call it, came out and hit it hard. And then it sort of, you know, rubber banded back to the center. So now we're kind of where we are. So
yeah, the 21 canceled weather show was, that was such a time. My perspective on that year, the 2021 year, was the anger and the cultural fighting that I mentioned hadn't started before was so heavy at the time. And I was just tired of everything. When Bonnaroo was like, well, now we're going to do it in September. I was like, I don't want Bonnaroo in September. It's not supposed to be in September. Like, I remember thinking that way because I was just so tired and angry at everything. And then it's like, oh, of course it's canceled. Maybe I'll never go to Bonnaroo again.
Yeah. You know? But it was not only that, it was there were still those questions of, do I want to go hang out with 80,000 people? You know, I think we still have some of that lingering. It's a legitimate
It's a legitimate thought. It's not an overreaction. It's a legitimate thought.
To somebody who's sitting here with COVID, and I have no idea.
Especially a real old guy like Barry. You know, the old people might die.
Exactly. I have no idea where I got it. What bathroom handle did I get this from? I have no idea. So. It's fair.
It's one of those grandbabies just snotting around, probably.
Could be. So.
But anyway, you know, I could talk about this forever. There's no reason to do that. But it a lot's happened since then, and I think I feel like the festival's in a good place. I feel like we as individuals are in a good place. Y'all can speak to that and tell me I'm wrong if you want to. And I think the show's in a good place, and I'm pretty happy about it.
Let me ask you guys this, because I remember asking in 2021, 22. And maybe into 23, when I would talk to musicians and artists and creators, I would ask them, are they concerned that now every artist is going to, every piece of art that they do is now going to be COVID related? Are we going to be inundated with woe is me, I'm stuck at home type of thing? Didn't see a lot of that. I mean, there are some things that are sort of hidden, couched, maybe that came out of it, but not like I feared.
Yeah, Jason Isbell did a little bit of that. He did some pieces where he talked about how awful it was. I also think that's, if you reverse engineer his divorce to Amanda Shires, think it pretty much starts right about there. If you care about such things, if you care about such things and and being speculative of someone else's life. But yeah, no, I mean, it does feel like though it's in the rearview mirror as far as like all the concerns, all
I'm tired
the
of talking about it.
Yeah, all the worries, all the curbside pickup. Come pick up your TV at Best Buy in the parking lot.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I know, right?
So,
yeah.
So, we're better placed in 2025, at least when it comes to infectious disease, for now.
Yeah. All right.
For now.
What else? What else? What else?
I don't know. Taco, you got anything? I think I'm pretty good on what else. Yeah, I think I got it.
Covered it. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was gone last week, so good to be back.
Answer the question, guys. Tell us who we need to be listening to.
Help me get my playlist going.
We need help.
And hopefully my goal is to get some of those names and to reach out to some agents and line up some interviews. I'd love to get some artists on here. We've got a couple other things lined up. I'm very happy with what we've done since January with Brad and Tuba and Church Boners. Anytime you can say Church Boners in public, I think it's a good day.
It's fun. Yeah, we just trip our way through this thing, guys. We try our best. We appreciate you very, very, very much for dealing with this silliness week in and week out in the whole Bonnaroo community. We love you.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.